Or is this just some wraith that great Persephone sends my way to make me ache with sorrow all the more? My noble mother answered me at once, my son, the unluckiest man alive, this is no deception sent by Queen Persephone. This is just the way of mortals when we die. Sinews no longer bind the flesh and bones together. The fire in all its fury burns the body down to ashes once life slips from the white bones, and the spirit rustling flitters away. Flown like a dream. But you must long for the daylight. Go quickly. Remember all these things, so one day you can tell them to your wife. And so we both confided, trading parting words, and there slowly came a grand array of women, all sent before me now by August Persephone, and all were wives and daughters once of princes. They swarmed in a flock around the dark blood while I searched for a way to question each alone, and the more I thought, the more this seemed the best. Drawing forth the long, sharp sword from beside my hip, I would not let them drink the dark blood all in a rush, and so they waited, coming forward one after another. Each declared her lineage, and I explored them all. And the first I saw there, Tyro, born of kings, who said her father was that great lord Salmonius, said that she was the wife of Cretheus, Aeolus's son, and once she fell in love with the river god Enipeus, far the clearest river flowing across the earth, and so she'd haunt Enipeus' glinting streams, till taking his shape one day, the god who girds the earth and makes it tremble, bedded her where the swirling river rushes out to sea, and a surging wave reared up, high as a mountain, dark, arching over to hide the god and mortal girl together. Loosing her virgin belt, he lapped around in sleep, and when the god had consummated his work of love, he took her by the hand and hailed her warmly. Rejoice in our love, my lady, and when this year has run its course, you will give birth to glorious children. Bedding down with the gods is never barren, futile, and you must tend them, breed, and rear them well. Now home you go, and restrain yourself, I say. Never breathe your lover's name. But no, I am Poseidon, god who rocks the earth. With that he dove back in the heaving waves, and she conceived for the god, and bore him Peleus, Neleus, and both grew up to be stalwart aides of Zeus Almighty, both men alike. Peleus lived on the plains of Iolcus, rich in sheep flocks. Neleus lived in sandy Pylos. And the noble queen bore sons to Cretheus too, Aeson, Pheres, Amythaon, exultant charioteer. And after Tyro I saw Asopus' daughter Antiope. Proud she'd spent a night in the arms of Zeus himself, and borne the god-twin sons, Amphion and Zethus, the first to build the footings of seven-gated Thebes, her bastions too, for lacking ramparts none could live in a place so vast, so open, strong as both men were. And I saw Alcmena next, Amphitryon's wife, who slept in the clasp of Zeus and merged in love and brought forth Heracles' rugged will and lion heart. And I saw Megara too, magnanimous Creon's daughter, wed to the stalwart Heracles, the hero never daunted. And I saw the mother of Oedipus, beautiful Epicaste. What a monstrous thing she did, in all innocence. She married her own son, who'd killed his father, then he married her. But the god soon made it known to all mankind. So he, in growing pain, ruled on in beloved Thebes, lording Cadmus's people, thanks to the god's brutal plan, while she went down to death who guards the massive gates. Lashing a noose to a steep rafter, there she hanged aloft, strangling in all her anguish, leaving her son to bear the world of horror a mother.